Okay, let's go through our psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Last week, we discussed the evidence in the world today for creation and for evolution. And the weight of the evidence was definitely on the side of creation. Well, evolutionists say that evolution is happening so slowly, that's why we can't see it happen in the present. But that the fossil record tells us the story of evolution taking place in the past. And so I want to examine this evidence today. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you give us the insight that we need to understand your word and appreciate your work better. Help us to see the fallacies of the world's theories and to see the truth of your account of creation in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let me remind you once again that being a Christian or a member of Crossroads Bible Church is not affected by your belief in an old earth or a young earth or creation or evolution. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ alone and not upon this. I'm only asking you, those of you who still might be wavering, to give a literal interpretation of Genesis a chance. And I'm trying to give you evidence so that you can consider a belief in a literal Genesis reasonable. Neither creation nor evolution can be proved because it happened in the past. They were unique events. And you build a model based upon the information that you're given, and you examine the facts in light of that model. We have an eyewitness written account, and that's what we're building our model upon. Well, today we're going to look at the fossils that you find in rocks and the geologic time scale. Do they prove evolution? Do they prove old age for the earth? What questions should you ask? Well, the first thing you might want to ask, what are fossils? Hopefully you know what fossils are, but there are billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth, and those are called fossils. They could be bones, shells, casts or molds of things that have already decayed, leaves, teeth, skin imprints, footprints, dung. Those are fossils. Any remains of living organisms. And remember that fossils exist in the present. Now, scientists have been examining fossils and the rocks in which they are found for about 200 years. As a way of reconstructing evolution's past history, they've set up a geologic time scale where the rocks with the most primitive fossils are assigned the oldest ages and the rocks with the most advanced fossils are considered the youngest, with various stages in between. Now, this is a simplified version of a geologic time scale. And you may be familiar with some of these names, Precambrian, the oldest, Cambrian, Ordovician, all the way on up to Cretaceous, which is what the rock we live on is given that time period, and then the modern ones. And then millions of years before the present, you're looking at 2.5 billion all the way to, you know, the present time period. Now, this time scale and all the rock layers that are supposedly represented by this only exist in one place, and that is in textbooks. There's no place on Earth where all the rock layers with all the kinds of fossils listed in this geologic time scale, in the sequence listed, there's no place where it's found. The geologic time scale is a nice graphic, and it's a way of explaining the past. Well, you might ask the question, why can't the Genesis days be the long ages that the geologists talk about, these same that were on this graphic I showed you, and match up with that time scale? And progressive creationists do this. They try to match it up. Well, when you start out with God's perfect word and you have man's fallible opinion, when people try to make them agree, guess which one gets modified? The Bible does, not man's fallible opinion. And that's what takes place when you try to match up geological ages with the days of creation. This is an example, and you have this on your handout. There are a number of contradictions between the biblical order of things and the secular order of things as they were created. Matter created first in the biblical. According to evolution, matter existed before at the beginning. Biblical order, earth before sun and stars, secular, sun and stars before earth, oceans before land as opposed to land before oceans, light before sun as opposed to sun first, air between waters, air above water, land plants first in the Bible, marine organisms first according to the evolution, fruit trees before fish, fish before fruit trees, fish before insects, insects before fish, land plants before sun, sun before land plants, marine mammals first, land mammals first, birds before land reptiles, reptiles before birds, and man, the cause of death, and death, of course, before man in the evolutionary time scale. So you see, it doesn't match up. And in order to make it match up, something's got to be twisted. And guess which one gets twisted? Scripture gets twisted. It gets taken out of context. It gets just stretched and moved and bent to match man's current theories. 30 years ago, it was twisted and moved and bent to match whatever theories were taking place back then. The Bible has to keep changing to match man's ideas, which keep changing. So it doesn't match up. You can't make it match up. Well, let's examine the fossil record for evidence of evolution. And if there is evidence of evolution, what questions should you ask? What would you expect to find? Creation is true. If creation is true, you would expect to find the abrupt appearance of highly complex and diverse life, according to when God created it, right? Bang, 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 he created it. This should be there. Basic kinds to appear complete with no ancestral transitional forms, nothing on an incomplete stage. If evolution was true, what would you expect to find? A slow progression of life from simple to complex and lots of transitional forms. Well, what do you find in the fossil record? Well, life appears abruptly and in complex forms in the fossil record. For example, the lowest level is called the Cambrian, and it's 570, therefore, million years ago, somewhere around general age range there. That's the lowest level that has lots of fossils in it. Thousands of very complex organisms suddenly appear in these rocks, such as the chambered nautilus, which is a squid-like creature, the crinoids, which are upside-down starfish on stems, that's what they look like, and trilobites, and that's one of these little things, trilobites. And these trilobites have a segmented body and very complex eyes. So many kinds of organisms suddenly appear in the fossil record that this time period is called the Cambrian explosion. No ancestral forms can be found for any of these. They appear in the fossil record fully formed, complete, distinct. It's very difficult to explain that. Scientists keep trying to find older rock layers so that they can hopefully find the earlier stages of these developing forms. And they've dug deeper and deeper into older layers in Australia and Greenland and various other places, but it doesn't get any better, at least for the evolutionists, because in these older layers, they find complex jellyfish and segmented worms without any ancestral forms. So the evidence suggests the creative design of a master designer. And when you read National Geographic, they have wonderful pictures, but when you read National Geographic, look at the actual evidence and not the interpretation. The second thing that we find in the fossil record is that each basic body style has been present right from the start, including vertebrates, which are vertebrates. We have a backbone. Shells look like shells all the way through, from the bottom to the top. Eyes look like eyes from the bottom to the top. And this makes no sense if evolution actually did occur. Regarding the fossil record, what is actually found there? 95% of all fossils are marine invertebrates. That's mostly shellfish like clams and oysters and other kinds of creatures like that. Of the remaining 5%, 3/4% of that are fossils of algae and plant fossils. Only 0.23% of all fossils are the other invertebrates, including insects. So of all the fossils that have been found and identified on Earth, only 0.0125% are vertebrates, and those are mostly fish. 95% of the few land vertebrates consist of less than one bone. There's just not much to build an entire system upon. Well, we said that, according to Darwin, there should be lots of transitional forms. Darwin stated quite correctly that if his theory was true, there should be large numbers of these in-between forms found as fossils. But amongst billions of fossils and living things, there's never been, nor there is now known of, any transitional forms between kinds. You may read something about it in a newspaper article, a magazine article. Usually they'll have some blatant headline. Missing link between such and such and such and such has been found. You go on to read the article, they found one part of one bone, and they have made up a whole organism based upon that. You really need to read between the lines there. Well, these are called missing links, and they're still missing 100 years after Darwin. If the forelimb of a reptile, let's say, has turned into the wing of a bird, we should find a series of stages where it's got part wing and part limb, you know, part scales, part feathers, and that type of things. But we don't. And if you think there haven't been enough fossils found yet, well, there have been billions of fossils found. Hundreds of thousands are in museums all over the world. And still no transitional forms. Now, evolutionists say that we have blind faith. But what they have is the substance of fossils hoped for and the evidence of links not seen. And look at who's good, survival of the fittest, truth. Well, I'm going to go over some of the things that you may have been taught in school and presented as evidence of evolution. And for you horse lovers, I thought I would let you know that your horse did not evolve. Evolutionists once believed that three-toed horses, and here's a diagram of a horse with a three-toe right there, that they evolved into one-toed horses, like modern horses, and that the size supposedly evolved from a small dog to the size of the horse today. And National Geographic did a big spread in January 1981 on an ancient ash fall, and oddly enough, captured in their photos of all these jumbled up bones and skeletons of animals that had died in an ash fall similar to Mount St. Helens eruption were the fossilized hooves of a completely formed one-toed horse right next to a completely formed three-toed horse. They were right there in the same location. Perfectly formed legs, nothing missing. Creationists have long pointed out that the arrangement of the horses in this so-called horse evolution exhibit was just a contrived sequence, and that there was every reason to believe that the various types of horses lived at the same time. We've got proof in that photo and in many other places as well. Professionals have abandoned this as proof of evolution, although it dies hard and is found in many museums and in textbooks. It's just hard to get rid of bad ideas once they're established. Today, about three distinct kinds of horses are now recognized with many varieties of each. There are living horses with multiple toes, and horses still range from the size of the little small ones, which are about 17 inches, to the size of the huge Clydesdales. It's not transitions. There's no evolution. They're just horses. Lots of varieties of horses. Probably the one that is promoted the very most is the dinosaur to bird thing. Here's a sample of what you might have been getting in the news lately. Are you sick of the dinosaurs to bird propaganda? Well, I am. Many times the proofs of evolution, like I said, are presented with great fanfare, but then when it's been refuted by a number of scientists who have investigated it, it may be on the back page, bottom paragraph, left side, you know, about this big. You know, we have determined that that has nothing to do with what we originally said it did. You never hear about it. You have to really dig into it to find out the evidence. Let me go over the ones that have been in the news lately. Over the last 2 years, these dinosaur fossils, or these fossils, have been found in northern China. In 1996, they found this one that was claimed throughout the world. Feathered dinosaur fossil found. It made the cover of Time magazine. Four American fossil experts in ancient birds examined that fossil and agreed that the so-called feather traces were actually frayed collagen fibers beneath the skin, not unlike many reptiles. Well, National Geographic, I'm kind of on its case today, did a big spread on this in July of this year. If you get that magazine, they had on the cover this beautiful model of a transitional form between dinosaurs and birds. And the artist that works for National Geographic already had in his mind what a transitional form would look like between dinosaurs and birds. He couldn't wait to use his idea. regardless of the facts. So they presented this whole spread about this transitional form, completely ignoring what the scientists say about that particular fossil. And National Geographic called those little fibers coming out of the skin of this creature downy filaments. Now, what kind of bias is that? Downy, you think of birds and so forth with their downy feathers. And they showed them as hairy fibers on this model. But the experts are saying those are normal reptile things. You got to read between the lines. You got to look for the evidence. Then the latest two finds also came from northern China, and that was within the last year. Experts have also examined those and say that they are true birds. They are similar to ostriches. They used gizzard stones like modern plant-eating birds, but unlike meat-eating dinosaurs. And that's not what National Geographic said. It kept calling them prototypes. They had fully formed feathers. They were fully formed birds, but they kept calling them prototypes. You just really have to look beyond the bias of some of these presentations. The scales from reptiles are folds in the skin, whereas bird feathers are more like our hair. It grows from a follicle, like hair. There has been no report yet of a fossil showing scales turning into feathers or a leg turning into a wing. So you don't have to worry about that. It hasn't been proven. Another thing about dinosaurs and birds, dinosaurs are classified according to their hips. They have some that are bird-hipped, or that have hips that are similar to birds, and some that are hips that are similar to lizards. Guess what kind of hip the ones that resemble birds have? Well, the ones that resemble birds have the lizard hips, and the ones that have the bird hips are these creatures down here. You're getting a lot of information that is just not accurate. You don't have to be afraid of what they're telling you. Dinosaurs did not evolve into birds. And I've given you a lot more information on your handout. We don't have time to go through today. Probably the one that is the most popular so-called evidence of evolution from dinosaur to bird is a fossil called Archaeopteryx. And this is a diagram of the fossil. It has been paraded by evolutionists for years as a link to reptiles, but now they are claiming that it was a full bird with fully formed flying feathers, and it had a wishbone like other birds. I mean, it flew. It is dated at about 140 to 150 million years, according to the rocks in which it was found. That's quote unquote its date. But modern birds have been found buried in the rocks of the same age as the rocks that this is found, and in rocks that are below this particular bird. So it is a fully formed bird. It's not a transitional form. If you heard that when you were growing up in school, or you hear that or read it anywhere, it's not a transitional form. And the two latest discoveries in China that are supposed to be prototypes are actually found in layers higher than this one. So they're actually younger. There is not a single feature that this fossil has, that this bird had, that is not shared by another bird. It was a true bird. What about man? Fossil man. For years, anthropologists have been trying to find the evolutionary link between apes and humans. The problem is, there are very few bones. And if you look back at the reason why, and you read Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9, you realize God wanted to wipe man off the face of the earth. In fact, that's what he says. I'm going to wipe mankind off the face of the earth. Less than 5% of all fossils are land creatures anyway, and what land fossils found were mostly laid down during the Ice Age, mammoths and mastodons and other creatures. There are true human fossils in all those sediments, but scientists are not satisfied with that because they want to find the evolutionary link between apes and man. If you assume that about 300 million people died during the flood, and sedimentary rocks cover about 300 million cubic miles of Earth's surface, that's one human fossil per cubic mile. That's just not very many of it. So the chance of have one fossil intersecting the Earth's surface, being found and honestly identified, that's not very good. It's a slim chance. That may be one of the reasons why there are few human fossils. On the other hand, if evolution is true and humans have lived on the earth for 3 million years, many trillions have lived and died. Where are their fossils? We don't find their fossils. People are so anxious to find the missing link, the ape man, that many hoaxes and misinterpretations have been publicized. And of the few bones actually found, most are used to build a hypothetical skeleton and a model portrayed as primitive to fit evolution's hypothesis, their expectations. Most of the time when you see anything that's been redrawn from supposed bones that have been found, you see it as a very primitive creature, you know, covered with ape-like hair and having an ape-like face. And, you know, they just put their evolutionary expectations upon those models. And I have some examples for you. Anthropologist Richard Leakey, who has been doing this for a long, long time, found a skull, dated it approximately 3 million years old. However, it was essentially identical to our skulls that we have today, to a modern human skull. But when it was diagrammed and modeled and flesh and bone, flesh and skin was put on it and stuff, it was modeled as primitive. It was totally identical to us in its bone structure and shape and everything, but they put a primitive face on it. Evolutionary bias. Then probably the one that you hear about the most is Lucy. Lucy is the popular name given to the famous fossil skeleton found in 1974 by Donald Johanson, American anthropologist. It was found in Ethiopia. To many people, Lucy is regarded as a certain link between ape-like creatures and man, thus supposedly proving evolution. From the neck up, though, all agree now that Lucy was totally like a gorilla. And from the neck down, nearly every feature was non-human, with long curved fingers and long curved toes, well adapted to swinging from tree limb to tree limb. And her discoverer, Donald Johanson, gave her a knee joint that was actually found 2 to 3 kilometers away in a rock layer 200 feet below the rock layer she was found in. Gals, if a creationist put such a wayward piece of a fossil skeleton together to prove a point, we would be blown out of the water and totally discredited as scientists. But we let evolutionists get away with such poor evidence. It's ridiculous what we let them get away with. At best, now they consider her an extinct ape. At worst, she's just a mosaic of pieces that have been found scattered amongst these rock layers. But she's still touted as the best evidence for human evolution in museums, in books, in magazines. You still read about it. Remember, all pictures of ape-to-man evolution are artist renderings, and the artist puts in the features that he thinks should be there based upon evolution. And most of the time, artists do not misinterpret the bones, but there's a blatant exception in the St. Louis Zoo. If any of you are from St. Louis, or if you've been to the St. Louis Zoo, there's a statue of Lucy in the St. Louis Zoo, and the artist put on her human hands and human feet, even though the few bones that were found did not have human hands and human feet. And this was to match some footprints that were found in Tanzania, which is a country to the south, not that far away, that were totally human footprints. They looked human. I mean, in every aspect of the way, they looked like barefoot humans made those footprints. This artist put human feet on Lucy because of the concept that she and her type made those footprints. You've got to beware of what you see in natural history museums. Don't assume the skeletons are real fossils. They used to leave the original bones as a certain color, and then the ones that they made to finish off the skeleton were a different color, but not anymore. You'll walk and see a whole skeleton all the same color, and you don't know which ones of those bones were actually found as fossils and which ones were made up to add to it. Then you'll see reconstructed diagrams of what the life looked like during that creature's lifetime. You might see them putting flesh and muscles on that and giving it an outer skin, and that's all an artist's conception because we don't find them looking that way. All you find is bones. You've just got to be aware of what you see and help your children to be discerning what they see. For example, this is a fossil. If you found this fossil, what kind of creature would you say this? Would you say this would be probably a meat eater or a plant eater? What, from looking at it? You would say it would probably be a meat eater. Well, an artist might want to give some flesh and bone, flesh and skin to this and muscles and give you that diagram right there. Ferocious carnivore, right? But actually, this is the skull of a camel. And camels are not meat eaters. They eat vegetables. So you just have to be aware that what you see that an artist has done may not necessarily be true. It happened in the past, right? And fossils exist in the present. Scientists exist in the present. Artists exist in the present. Okay, somebody last week asked me about Cro-Magnon and Neanderthals, so I thought I would just give you a little bit about Neanderthals. Neanderthals and Cro-Magnon were two groups of people that were named those names because of the locations in which they were found and identified. Neanderthals are considered to be older on the evolutionary scale than Cro-Magnon people, which the Cro-Magnons were considered to be essentially the same as modern humans. Let me just tell you something about Neanderthals. The Neanderthal skeletons show signs of rickets, arthritis, and other bone diseases that are brought on by poor diet, lack of sunshine, and extreme cold. And if you look at where they left the Mesopotamian area and went north through to Europe and then over here, they would have dealt with the ice age. All this is ice up here. They would have had cold and extreme climates. They lived in caves because it was such a cold and extreme climate. Probably they had lack of vitamin D. If you don't get sunshine, you don't get vitamin D. If you don't get fatty meats, you don't get vitamin D. If you don't eat fish, you don't get vitamin D. They probably didn't have any of that, so they got these. They got rickets and other diseases caused by that. Neanderthal noses were exceptionally they think they were supposedly large. And so that separates them from modern humans in some scientists' minds. But there are Neanderthal genes in our modern populations as evidenced by large noses from people who come from this area. I mean, you know, there's still some Neanderthal genes hanging around. They carefully buried their dead. Creatures that carefully bury their dead are not ape men. They played musical instruments. A musical flute made from a bear's thigh bone was found at a Neanderthal site here in Slovenia. It was carefully constructed and it followed a recognizable scale. They had sophisticated hunting, planning, designing, and manufacturing skills. In fact, a United Kingdom archaeologist was quoted as being speechless after examining the wooden spears and other artifacts that have been found associated with Neanderthal sites, because it was unimaginable that such items were still intact despite being geologically dated at 400,000 years. Well, they weren't that old. The history of the world revealed in the Bible implies that Neanderthals, far from being primitive ancestors or separate species, were but one line in the range of genetic variation in humans after the flood and the Tower of Babel. Populations split out, those they kept marrying within their same population and developed similar characteristics. Both of the Neanderthals and the Cro-Magnons were humans dispersed from the Tower of Babel. They were both as human as any of their city-building forefathers, even though they were using a hunting or foraging lifestyle, and they were just as human as modern peoples that use a hunting and foraging lifestyle. No less human. Man has always been man. Okay, God created man in his own image. Man has always been man. There's no reason to think that he is not, that he's been some half creature at any point in the past. And evolution is a racist philosophy. You have to remember this. The Bible doesn't talk about races. It talks about people. It talks about tribes and nations. Everyone has the same color. Some people have more of it than others, but we all have the same skin color, the melanin that gives us our skin color. We all have the same stuff. It's just some people have more of it than others. There's only one race of people. We're all equal before God. We go back to Noah and to Adam and Eve. We all have that problem called sin, and we all need the same solution, Jesus Christ. We need to get rid of our racist attitudes that are based on evolutionary philosophy. You may have not have thought of that, that evolution is the source of many of our racist attitudes, but it is. Just want to show you again from a newspaper article, things that are facts and things that are conjecture are presumptions. A million-year-old skull discovered in East Africa. Okay, you've got a presumption, million years old, but a fact. It was discovered in East Africa. It was a well-preserved fossil lodged in silt and clay. Okay, that's a fact. Human ancestor, that's presumption. Down here, it describes the Homo erectus, which is a supposed human ancestor, had a flat skull and a sloping forehead and a thicker brow and a smaller brain. Then it goes on and says that this skull has primitive characteristics, then describes it as having a larger brain. And it tells how it's different from the one that it's trying to describe as being primitive. In other words, they're trying to present a case for this thing being primitive, but in actual fact, it's not. And all they had was the skull, the two lower teeth, and two fragments of a pelvis. And I guarantee you they built a body and had a model based upon that. Somewhere along the line you'll find that. And it was found in the same layer as three-toed horses. I pointed that out because of what I had said about horses earlier. They're still around. The three-toed horses are still around. So actually, the fossil record is better explained by Noah's flood. I mean, what evidence would you find if Noah's flood occurred as God said it did in Genesis 7 through 8? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. And what do you find? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. Huge fossil graveyards with millions and billions of specimens, most having experienced death by drowning. Well, we're out of time, but I did include the rest of this on your handout. What would it take to discredit evolution based upon the fossil record? Out of place fossils, things that are totally out of the order of the way they should be found in the geologic time scale. Believe it or not, there are over 2,000 documented such examples. You just don't hear about them because they don't want you to hear about them. Well, God told us all that we needed to know about how He created the earth, how long it took, and how complete His creation was. And then He rested because He was finished, not because He was tired. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for how You specifically designed us and designed this world, the delight that You took in preparing the earth for the inhabitants, for preparing the plants for our food and for our enjoyment, for giving us the animals also to enjoy while we're here on earth, and for specifically designing us. Thank You for what You have already done for us. Help us to appreciate it more this week as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.